Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
To Deadly Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from. Thank you very much. And across the nation, National Talk Black, live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbaburra Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You're yarning with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, going to start the show off with Marwa Law. Thank you very much. We have Michaela French on the line, my sister. Very good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm well, thanks. How are you going?
I'm very good. Thank you for coming to the program, my sister. Now, there's a new law in place regarding signing documents in a pandemic thanks to COVID-19. Queensland new electronic signing and witnessing regulation. So give us a bit of intro to the new law there, sister.
Yeah, so with the social distancing restrictions and the government closures currently in place, anyone who is trying to make a deed or make a will or amend their will or get a mortgage would have experienced difficulties trying to find the documents and get a witness to look at the document as well. So to provide relief to individuals and companies during this COVID-19 pandemic, the Queensland government has passed the Justice Legislation COVID-19 Emergency Response Wills and Enduring Documents Amendment Regulation for 2020. So this regulation will be in force until the 31st of December this year.
Okay, so why is a new regulation important?
Yeah, so what the new regulation does is that it allows a signatory and a witness to sign or witness certain documents by audio-visual links. So, for example, Zoom or FaceTime or Skype or Microsoft Teams.
Is there types of documents that will apply to the new laws as such?
Yeah, so the types of documents that will apply are deeds, mortgages, general powers of attorney, wills, affidavits, and also some statutory declarations.
All right, and can you tell us how virtual signing and witnessing works?
Yeah, no worries. So for affidavits, declarations, and wills, those can be signed electronically and witnessed via video link. So the requirement is that the witness must be a special witness. So this means a person who is an Australian legal practitioner, so a lawyer, a justice of the peace, notary public, or a commissioners for declarations. So once you've got your special witness, you'll be on the video call, and the person signing the document will need to have a paper version of the document in front of them. And so then they need to show the witness on the camera that they're signing the pages of the document.
Okay.
Yeah, and so they also need to do this freely and willingly, so there can't be someone next to them
with a gun at the head.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all legit. what happens after the document is witnessed as such, Michaela?
Yeah, so once the document has been signed and witnessed, the witness must receive either the original signed document or the scanned copy of the document from the person signing.
Okay.
So then the witness will need to sign each page once they receive that document themselves. In addition to this as well, they need to provide a certificate that confirms that the document was signed and witnessed as per this new regulation, the date the document was signed and witnessed, and the steps that the witness took to identify who the person signing was.
Okay, right, yeah. And what are the new rules for signing a deed?
Yep, so a deed is a special type of promise or commitment to do something. So, for example, a deed could be a confidentiality deed, a financial guarantee, or a letter of credit. So for these types of documents, the new regulation allows the deed to be signed electronically, so you don't need to have it like a signed bit of pen on paper.
Mm.
And also the deed can be signed without a witness, so you wouldn't need to have a witness for certain types of deeds. If you're a company as well, you won't need a company seal to sign the deed. And you can also sign in counterpart. So this means that you can sign, you can print all the signing pages and give it to everyone that needs to sign that document and just collate it.
All right. And then what about mortgages?
Yep. So under the new regulations, the mortgages can also be signed electronically. There are some exceptions. So this will apply if the mortgage is lodged through PEXA, or the mortgagee holds a mortgage in writing on the same terms and conditions as the one that has been lodged. So that will apply if the mortgage is going to be electronic.
All right, so for a lot of people who haven't got the legal brain as much, as like hogwash is all over the place, where can I go for more information, sister?
Yeah, sure. So if you require some assistance in understanding this new regulation, or you're unsure about these requirements for having your document signed and witnessed, please contact us on 4041 3088 for assistance. And also as well, you could contact the Queensland Law Society on 1300 367 757.
Fantastic. Yeah, a different world we're living in thanks to COVID-19, and even when we come out of it, the way of business can change in more ways than one.
Yep. It definitely has been changing.
Lovely, Michaela. Let the mob know, who is Murrow Law?
So Marawal Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law.
All right, and how do they contact you guys?
Yeah, so our contact is 4041 3088, or you can jump onto our website, marawallaw.com.au, to check us out.
Check us out. Represent, Michaela. Thank you very much for sharing. Look, all the best to you.
Okay.
And big shout out to your team there. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Trev.
Bye, Michaela.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there, Michaela French, Murrow Law, and a deadly sister working with the deadly firm there, Murrow Law, based in Cairns and Brisbane. And fantastic, and big shout out to Leah Cameron, the director, deadly black woman, and deadly lawyer she is as well, solicitor and director of the organisation. Have your say, mob. Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416, number of National Talk Black, a voice for our people. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummerbrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. So have your say, yarn up strong, your mob too deadly.
Clean your hands regularly with soap and water or alcohol-based hand rubs.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummerbrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yes, we are living in a different world at the moment thanks to coronavirus, COVID-19, but blessed are the flexible. And the question is, what happens thereafter? Look, we're going to have a deadly chat now with economist Tim Harcourt on the line. Tim, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and thanks for having me on your show, Trevor.
Now, thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Tim?
I'm in Sydney, mate. I've got a show called The Airport Economist, but I'm not doing much flying, mate, so I'm grounded in Botany in Sydney at the moment.
Grounded like most planes, my friend. Look, fantastic. Great to have you on board. The world as we know it has changed. There is light at the end of the tunnel. When we come out of this so-called COVID-19 space, which you're calling coronanomics, is a conversation. Please enlighten us regarding the light ahead, my friend.
Well, it's amazing. You know, Australia's done very well because, you know, the government said we've got to, act fast, act quickly, go big and keep the lights on with the JobKeeper. And what it's meant is that the mining and farming has gone ahead. A lot of the regional businesses have gone ahead. The Pacific's done very well. New Zealand's done very well. The places closest to Cairns have done well. But, you know, we've had to close the borders. So there'll be no flying, you know, overseas for a good 12 months. And it means not a lot of international tourism, which, of course, will affect
the tourist industry big time, yes, of course.
So Australia's one of the best places in the world to be right now because we've got over the public health crisis. Now we're just looking at opening up the economy and getting people back to work and back to business to get some things going again. But it'll be good 12 months before you see things sort of go back to normal.
So, yeah, regarding life after coronavirus, as you mentioned, coronanomics in regard to life after COVID-19. So paint that picture for the future there, brother.
Well, I think in many ways we've seen with corona, the mining and farming has still gone ahead. So a lot of our exports are going well. A lot of our businesses can keep going. A lot of our, you know, craft breweries and gin makers are making hand sanitizer. You know, they've sort of pivoted to the new industries. But there'll be a lot of things like international tourism, international education that we won't see happening for a good 12 months. So we've all had to sort of be nimble and flexible. But so far, Australia's done well in flattening the curve, you know, making sure there's not much infection. And we've done well in the fact that our economy's done much better than most of the others, like America and the UK and so on. So pretty optimistic in Australia, I think.
But as you mentioned before, looking what we are looking for, normality, yeah, after the so-called virus, the normality will be different picture to how it was, yes?
Oh, it will be. I think there'll be more people working at home. I think there'll be a more regional and domestic tourism. You know, I think there'd be a lot of people in Australia who'd want to, you know, go to the Cairns Indigenous Art Gallery run by Gina Harding. They'd want to go
big
to
shout out.
Uluru and see Sammy Wilson there and learn the stories of the people of Uluru and around the Pitjantjatjara land. So I think a lot of Australians will see their own country. They'll see a lot of Indigenous Australia because, you know, the international tourists won't be coming for a while. So it's really up to the Aussies to come and, you know, get to know their own country. All, you know, 50,000, 60,000 years of it.
Well, exactly. And look, it's a fantastic product in that sense regarding tourism when we're talking First Nation culture. But it is a big hole in the bucket, so to speak, when you're talking about international travel. So it would affect the tourist industry in some form, big form, yes?
Yeah, no, it will. I was out with the elders from Uluru last year because they were stopping the climb, and Pauline Hanson was there. But I actually filmed the Airport Economist with a local tour company that was actually run by Brett and his mate Sammy, who's one of the traditional owners of Uluru, and they were talking about Indigenous tourism, you know, filling the void in a sense. And they were getting a lot of interest from Australians now who want to learn, you know, about 50,000 years of culture. So I think it might be an opportunity to sort of educate Australians about Indigenous history and culture. And by that time, you know, the international people will be back, and you know, we'll have a much better understanding of what it means to be Australian.
Well, that could open up a new opportunity as well regarding education, information in regards to black deaths in custody, for example, and regarding what's happened with George Floyd and the movement regarding police brutality and all the above here in this country.
Oh, that's exactly right. I used to work at the ACTU in Melbourne with Janina Harding, who now is up in Cairns running the Indigenous Art Gallery. And Janina and I basically had an Indigenous officer in every state and territory, and our job was basically jobs, jobs, jobs and jobs. And so we got together with each Chamber of Commerce in every state and territory and ensured that as they expanded, you know, different projects, whether it be mining or tourism or education, that there'd be Indigenous training and Indigenous employment. And I actually thought that was a fantastic way that you could see the trade unions and the Chambers of Commerce working together. And not just providing the jobs, but here's some of the training that allows you to be able to do the job, you know. And I actually thought that was a great learning experience for everyone. So I can see a whole new wave of this with Corona, because we can't just rely on international tourists now. We've got to have, you know, Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians working together to boost cultural tourism and cultural education, as you say.
No, fantastic. So, yeah, a different world. And look, there is light at the end of the tunnel. There's no vaccine for the virus at this point in time. So we still have to tread carefully and don't be too complacent in regard to the virus, yeah?
I think that's right. I think we've got to keep up with the social distancing as hard as it is. I think we've got to, you know, think of new ways to get in touch with each other, you know, virtually from, you know, all around the country, and keep in touch with people overseas that we might do business with or we might have education ties with. But I think we can manage it, because we've done so well so far, and just think of new ways of you know, responding to different circumstances. You know, we're not out of the woods yet, but at least we've got over that hump where some other countries, you know, their hospital systems overwhelmed. You can see in the United States, you know, they're burying bodies in the street because they can't get an hospital.
But Tim, the other thing that's a devil in disguise in regards to entrepreneur schools coming to the table or surfacing in regards to looking at other ways of doing business or new business opportunities for different people out there, yeah?
Oh, I think definitely. I mean, not just the technology, because people had to work from home, but you know, companies like Gecko Systems in Ballarat, they were mining minerals processing. They've now made ventilators for the COVID. The COVID crisis. A number of other companies have sort of switched their production to something more local, and it's actually been very successful. And I think, again, your example with Indigenous tourism, while we don't have the international people here now, we can really appeal to Australians to go out and embrace the, you know, the Indigenous culture of this country, and then they themselves will be better educated and be able to tell international people about it. I think that's the sort of the quite sleeping giant out there in terms of the next wave of tourism for Australia.
Well, as they say, a lot of people are against change, but change is inevitable, and to me, change is the engine of growth, you know, so it's about being adapting to the times, and we need to adapt, yes?
We do indeed. Look, it's like surfing, you know, you can't predict how the waves are going to go, but every day is perfect conditions because there are some things you just can't affect, you know, like the ocean. So you just got to adapt to which way the surf's going, and that's a bit how the world economy is.
And look, and that's the message you're probably putting across the airways here: is you move from Cairns to Sydney because there's better surf down there.
That's probably right. Yeah, you've got the Barrier Reef, and you've got the rainforest. You've got a few nice things up in Cairns.
Thank you. I hear you, brother. I hear you. Look, very great talking to you. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your team there, and your family. Stay safe, and there's light at the end of the tunnel, brother.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on your show. And congratulations on all the work you're doing for the local community and for people around Australia. You're doing a great service.
Beautiful. Thank you, Tim. You take care, mate. All the best.
Okay, thanks, Trevor. Take care.
Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. Tim Harcourt, his name is. He's an economist, and just talking about the light ahead, talking about life after coronavirus and how the economy looks in regard to the future, in regard to new industries or doing business in a different way. A lot of people have operated from home doing their JOBs and their businesses as such, and that may be the ongoing thing. But new business has risen because of it. Entrepreneur skills come to the table and thinking outside the square. So there, it is a very important conversation, and that's the world we're living in at the moment. But you can have your say, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. And that deadly number is 1-800-422-416. Call the number. Yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to News, National News Radio Service. Have you say your mob, 1-800-422-416. Too deadly.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
It's time, Australia. Time for recognition. See, before our dark past, we had a black history. Now I ain't pointing no fingers and I ain't pushing no blame, I ain't silly. But what's happened in the past is time for recognition and work together. It's like this. They'd rather compensate us than give us recognition. In other words, they'd rather buy you out of your tradition. Cause when you recognise, that's how your culture survives. Many millenniums and thousands of tribes around the fire. Like a robbery, the writings of walls. It's like the troops in the past, they would rather us all dead. But we survivors. Through the spirit of my ancestors, thousands of years from behind us. Hear that, survivors. Through the ignorance and arrogance, the miseducation divides us. Product of environment. Before all the grogs and the drugs, it was dreams that would guide us. Now we're stuck in violence, prison system confine us. Genocide undercovers, the stolen kids under silence. No wonder we tyrant, revolution is now. Australia can't stop us, we're taking back what is ours. Genocide, it was genocide. See the pain in my people's eyes. Steal my culture, deny my pride. But we survive, better recognize.
genocide, it was genocide. See the pain in my people's eyes. Steal my culture, deny my pride. But we survive, better recognize. They wanna breed out the pedigree, close down communities, broadcast the negative and highlight the bigotry. Yeah, yeah, they wanna white out our history with no recollection, just a white man's legacy. Don't believe me, ask Lad Hancock. Yeah, that's Gina's father, had a plan to poison the lot. You wanna stop the sons and daughters, put some poison in their water, then you wait a generation and peg at the lot. Now that's iron ore pimping, iron ore pimping. Blood on the hands from these iron ore victims. I'm running the government systems. Throw a little dollar, call it royalty for regions. Yo, yo, this is black man's land. Always has, always will be black man's land. Over 70,000 years walking this land, and Cook came and went. Now we're living in a genocide, it was genocide. See the pain in my people's eyes. Steal my culture, deny my pride. But we survive, better recognize. Genocide, it was genocide. See the pain in my people's eyes. Steal my culture, deny my pride. But we survive, better recognize.
Here's my ancestors from this desert landscape.
Brother and sister, I still love you. I'm a voice for the indigenous, the lyricist, the spiritual.
Here's my ancestors from this desert landscape.
Brother and sister, I still love
you.
They must have thought they seen aliens when them convict ships come sailing in. Crooks galore, criminal minds hit the shore. Guns go bang and their bodies hit the floor. Invaded, taken, raping, killed, slaved, chained, oppressed. Still we survivors. Yeah, hear that? We're survivors. Check it, we came from sacred places to racist times. Australia, it's time to recognise we're survivors. Yeah, hear that? We're survivors. Yeah, they'd rather compensate us than give us recognition. In other words, they'd rather buy you out of your tradition. Cause when you recognize, that's how your culture survives. Many millenniums and thousands of tribes.
And that's how it is, Australia. All we're looking for is a bit of recognition. And that's by working together as one and acknowledging the past history and moving forward. It starts at home with us around the dining table, how we teach our kids the next generation. It's all about understanding one's culture and being respectful of one's feelings. And together with that, we can move forward and have a positive Australia. We might have had a dark history, but best believe we've got a bright future.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
My people, Aboriginal people, don't forget what we're fighting for. We are Aboriginal people of this land. Custodians, my people, my
yeah, to Delhi, my people, that's Chris Phillips here on your Delhi program, National Talk Black. You can have your say, your mob, call us on that Delhi number, 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with Baldy Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, that's BB and Bubba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS. To Delhi, mob, have your say. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Yenny Tim. No relation, a lecturer at New South Wales Business School. Dr. Yenny Tim is a practice-oriented researcher, and in her research she investigated the transformative potential of digital technology as it pervades modern business and society, and commenting on how to protect yourself from cyber threats during COVID-19. And we have Dr. Yenny Tim on the line. Doctor, very good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Yes, we are living in a different world at the moment, and you're commenting on how to protect yourself from cyber threats during COVID-19 because naughty people will do naughty things, don't care what's happening out there in the world, yes?
Yeah, sure. So, yes, so right now, really, a lot of us are working from home. That's one thing. And then, you know, with all the challenges and stressful situation going on, so really there has been a lot of increase that we have seen in terms of cyber threats. And yeah, I can talk about, you know, some of the common threats that are facing individuals.
Sure, today. Let's talk about what cyber threats are out there as such, please, mm-hmm. Doctor.
Yeah, sure. So the first thing I think we should talk about is really the phishing emails and also text messages that we are getting. And this has been happening, you know, before COVID-19, obviously, but with the health crisis going on, a lot of the cyber attackers, they're taking advantage of our concern. You know, we want information. We might want to know, you know, things like how to protect ourselves, health advice, and a lot more things that we are looking for online. And they're really taking advantage of that and sending us scams. So through emails and text messages, sometimes they also call us, or even physical scams. So they show up, you know, and
knocking on the door.
Yeah, exactly. So in terms of the cyberspace, we of course talking about the phishing emails and the text messages that we are getting. And a lot of them are, you know, COVID-19 related. So they will talk about vaccine. They will talk about treatment. They will talk about things that you need to register. Maybe your government has some sort of, you know, policies and rules that you need to follow. So things like that are really, we're really seeing an increase in terms of emails that people are getting related to that.
Sure. So what tips can you put across the table here in regarding staying safe?
Yeah, so if we wanted to protect ourselves and also others, you know, like our family members who might not be aware of this threat, we really wanted to just, the first thing we can do is really to be very aware of this is happening. And when we receive, you know, email or a text message, things we should look out for would be if an email is asking you to click on a link, is asking you to open an attachment, or bringing you to a website and then ask you to log in to see something or to get some information.
That should be setting off alarms, shouldn't it?
Exactly, exactly. You need to be very careful about that.
Okay, fantastic. And what to do if you feel as though you have fallen victim to a cyber threat? What do we do there?
Yeah, so if you have received, you know, a phishing email and you think it's a scam, there are a few things you can do as an individual. So for us in Australia, we can go to scamwatch.gov.au. That's the government website where you can report a scam. And by reporting a scam, you're actually helping the government to, you know, track down. Maybe they can close the website. They can post, you know, a notification to everyone else. And if you have provided, let's say, your username and password through a phishing email, then the first thing you should do is really to change your username and password for that account. So let's say you have provided maybe your logins to Australia Post website that you usually use to, you know, find your delivery information. Then the first thing you should do is really to just change your account information for Australia Post. And then the second thing is on the ScamWatch website, you can find a list of things that you can do with instructions and people that are related to different types of scams, and you can contact them from there.
Sure, fantastic. So we need to have our eyes and ears open, so to speak, and tread carefully. But a real organisation, a real company, wouldn't be asking for your personal details. They would be calling you or, yeah, flicking you an email with the title of the government or title of the company, the organisation. And that sort of thing you need to be looking out for. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So any emails or text messages that you are not expecting, so you are not, you know, talking to someone and then you know that they are going to ask you for details. So unsolicited emails and text messages that are asking for your information could be your username, password, and even your credit card information.
Yes.
So those, you know, emails and text messages, we need to be really, we have to be very aware of that, and then just don't do what they ask you to do. So if you get some emails that are, you know, looks like it's coming from maybe your colleague, but the content is a bit strange. You never talk about that thing with your colleague before, mm. or, you know, from your friend, but you have never had that conversation, and your friend suddenly say, can you send me, you know, 5 iTunes gift cards or something like that? Then just use a different channel to sure. reach to that friend or that colleague, and then, you know, ask them, have you sent me that email? Just don't reply to that email.
Well, the bottom line is, Doctor, if it's something out of the ordinary, something out of the, that's not a normal thing for you, you should be thinking twice.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
It's about being streetwise, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In a way.
Yeah.
Look, thank you very much for sharing. Look, we are living in a different world, and it's about adapting to the space we're living in. But even after or before COVID-19 and after COVID-19, there are people out there who's looking at ways to take money from your pocket, so to speak, and the social media and the internet and all the gadgets that we got out there, we just got to be aware of everything. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right.
Thank you very much for sharing, Doctor. All the best to you. You take care, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A beautiful yarn there. Dr. Yenny Tim, as I said, no relation, lecturer at University of New South Wales Business School. And the topic there was, talking about how to protect yourself from cyber threats during COVID-19 and after COVID-19. Either way, you need to protect yourself, you mob. Like I said, naughty people do naughty things, and they'll look at any way trying to take bucks out of your pocket, out of your accounts. And don't get that information. You'd be keeping your cards close to your chest is what I'm saying. 11:38 in far north Queensland here, sunny north Queensland, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. That deadly number 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Too deadly.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Will we ever be the same again?
Yeah, for our people, Eloise Ingram here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with Tony Gibbs on the line. Very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, bro. Thanks. I'll follow on a little bit. I had a scam done against me. I did ring you last week. Someone phoned up from the taxation and said...
Telephone?
Me,
you know, telephone internet?
Yeah, they called me. I never had a scam before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they called up and they... It was, and they said, if I don't ring this number, I was going to get arrested. That was on a Friday. I'd only get locked up on Friday. You know, it's a long time in the lockup.
Did you ring that number?
Nah, mate. I sort of figured this is not right. You know, you got
to trust. Okay, good on you. So you didn't act on it?
No, well, I did get on to the ABC about that. Like, mate, I don't want to bother you. And they said they was aware of it. And actually, they were having a meeting about that one right then.
Okay, fantastic. So there it is. There are scammers out there, and they'll do anything to put their long hand in your short pocket, brother.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I heard your lady talking before, and I really said you could do this. People out there sitting there by the fire, with some of them can't send smoke signals. You know, it's easy for modern generation to deal with this. Anyway, and the second scam I've been dealing with, and it's going on, is the Cairns City Council Cemetery Department, mate.
Haven't got the AOK to have the plot next to your lovely lady.
And I really thank the ABC. That's right, mate. I have not got that. I have not got peace of mind, and I don't have that. And I called the ABC again this morning. There's a fellow there helping, and he's asking them again today. I had a heated discussion the other day, and I said, I'm not going to argue on the phone anymore because I know you're recording all this, and you're not only... won't sell the plot to a husband, you know, so you can make your double bed, whatever you've got to do, prepare it. You're charging interest for God knows how long on the reservation fee, which is nearly $1,000. And then I said, well, why can't you sell me the plot? And he said, oh, well, you've got to pay for the internment, which, you know, in plain English means digging the hole. And I said, well, how much is that? And this they put me on two or three people now, I'm tired of it, mate. And I said, how much is that? And I said, well, we can't tell you until you're finished, you know. So that was the only reason I could get. Is it unreasonable? They don't have a real reason not to satisfy, you know. I know it's, we're a black and white couple and it's really offensive, racist. To me, I can say that. I can, in that position, to say that it is very disturbing because we're well-known activists. And
let's say racism in this country was the... It was the...
I'll make a bloody shrine there.
Yeah.
But I cannot buy that grave next to it, and that's terrible. Can I move on, mate? It is being worked on.
Sure, go ahead, yep. You there, Tony?
Hello.
Yeah. Sorry, Tony, I can hear you, but you couldn't hear me. If you want to call back and continue our conversation, when you're talking, it sounds a little bit like racism going on there. You cannot have the plot next to your wife after burying her. I can't understand. You've got the money, so I don't know what the drama is. It's just like how the PM, Scott Morrison, said there's no slavery, and his comments sparked outrage from historians and Indigenous politicians. And, look, there's plenty of proof that there was slavery in this country. Like I said, Australia's got a history, black or white, good or bad, and the history is a history. Maybe your mob want to comment on that, but the time is 11:45 here in sunny North Queensland. 50 minutes go here on National Talk Black, that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'll try again with Brother Tony. Tony, you there?
Yeah, sorry,
I lost you there. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. So, yeah, we're just saying in regards to cannot get your the plot next to your lovely wife in regarding when you leave this earth and they won't let you do it, you've got the money, you start to think, is it a racial thing? Because she's black, you're white, and as I mentioned, Scott Morrison said there was no slavery in this country. Go figure.
I'll get on to him. I'll leave that. You know, Scott ScoMo, he said during those riots that we shouldn't import problems from America. Well, the Americans imported the slaves themselves, that they called the problem. and the white English slaves were imported here, convicts.
Yes.
The white people have imported themselves, and they've become the problem here for you, fella, you know?
Exactly, brother, exactly.
Right. So when the Yanks threw the British out, you know, the War of Independence was 1776, they knew they were going to get hunted. So they had Captain Cook there. You want to talk about the statue afterwards in Cairns, the big one?
Yeah, exactly. Well, a lot of statues have been pulled down across the globe now, and there's some questions that need to be asked here in this country.
Yeah, well, they call it the Captain Cook Highway, and there's a big one with a Zig Heil pose there. You know, last time I saw it, I said, have weeders into it, you know. But anyway, when the Yanks threw the British out after the War of Independence, they came here because they wanted a new place to do their dirty work, which was slavery.
Mm.
And why the sugar slaves were here? Why? Because they shot and killed all the local people out or took them away, and then people struggling to get back. And basically, Goldsboro is still ethnically cleansed. We've got one wild man up there, you know?
Yes.
Otherwise, you wouldn't. And so America's problem is different to Australia's problem. We know Black Best in custody in America, and we know the same thing in Australia. There's so much talk about America, we'll not fix things here, you know.
Look at your own backyard is what you're saying, brother.
And yeah, well, that's the grassroots show, what Bummer Biffa, Rainforest is about. So all the other stuff is something I don't know to say, and we respect all the Americans and suffering. It becomes a red herring and like a smoke screen. It takes the place, and it's just left the policing in the hands of the Crown and England, who are not part of any real treaty with the Aboriginal race, and that's including Native Title. They'd like to call it consent determination, you know, following the orders of Cook Planet. We know he's a war criminal, you know, and the Hawaiians said don't come back, so they speared and killed him.
Yeah.
But, you know, they might want to take that statue down and they can float it on a raft to Cook down, then the local fella can come out and have a proper reenactment and spear it, you know, whatever.
Yes.
But maybe the Fiji government men have got a reason, you know, to have a thing there about that. This is local. I mean, what's relevant to other parts of the world? Why is it any different in North Queensland, you know, which is, no one's working, no one's doing it. Well, you know, something needs to be done about it if people want change. So they can focus on Captain Cook. And I'm from England, mate.
Mm.
I'm from England. I'm born there. So, you know, I'm...
Your so-called brotherhood.
I'm not part of their system, you know. It's like a David Hicks position, you know, David
yes,
Hicks.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I'm fighting for the side that I belong to.
Fighting for what's right.
For what's right. That's right, mate.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
So, I've got a few things going, but to me, it all adds up that I'm seeking justice all my time is to get justice for the attack on the art gallery in Mount Molloy up in the hills behind Douglas, because that will create local industry if we get a compensation. And what happened to auntie, their sister, whoever gone was to them, that shows all this mob. Well, why should we do anything? Why should we do anything? Because look what happened to her, and how her life was made a refugee, you know, and, you know, doing Wild West show on the streets here, there and everywhere to Canberra and back three times. And you get nothing, you know, nothing, just abused. And they say, we want to listen. But it's just rhetoric, it's just talk, you know. They don't. And that Scott Morrison, well, he's shown his true colours now. He's one of them Australians that would not have a clue. And if you don't live with Aboriginal people, you know, you can be any kind of study.
Well, denial ain't no river in Egypt, you know, putting your head in the sand and point blank not knowing your history or ignoring it.
We're not in denial, we're from the Mulgrave River that flows down from the tableland out through all the cane farms onto the reef.
Yes.
And the Mulgrave River, we're from the Mulgrave River.
Beautiful river.
That tribe has been given a little corporation, you know, which corporation's not a Murray. You know,
exactly.
And I feel sorry for all of them, and I'll say that no matter all the disputes, what's been done. And there's a lot of Kanaka population here that were sugar slaves, and then
exactly.
He doesn't know anything about this place.
Yep.
He doesn't know, the whole country doesn't know about the rainforest and has to have people on that land where they're not going to be terrorised. And my last thing is, we have a rogue policeman, and I don't want to get beat out, and he's an Aboriginal policeman, and he's distorted the whole Native Title claim and fueled a family feud, and we don't want to get arrested. And the Indigenous men say, well, you can do that on the thing. And I listened this morning, and they said they'll look after every woman. Well, they didn't look after Donald's camp when she was caretaker when I was up there.
Yep.
And the Moore family belonged to Carney's Flats. They belonged to Carney's Flat, and because the National Park took their land, they've moved into other areas, and that's the domino effect, and that's caused by the government. So I won't blame anybody for doing anything.
Yep, point taken, yeah. Brother. Thank you very much for sharing, Tony.
Yeah, I've got that off my chest. I'm going to have a
all out. You take care of you, my brother. Keep in touch.
Thank you, I will. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, bro. That's our Tony Gibbs there, calling from Gordonville, getting it off his chest. You mob can do the same. We've got about 8 minutes to do it in. And otherwise, text the brother 0457140550 and make comment on our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. That's a way of communicating with us. The deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black. Have you say, yarn up strong, you mob. Too deadly.
Coronavirus is a sickness that can spread from one person to another. It can be dangerous, especially for people elders or people who are already unwell. We can stop the spread in our communities. If you cough, you must cough inside your elbow instead of your hand. Wash your hand with soap for at least 20 seconds after you cough or sneeze, or even when you go to the toilet and before you make a kai kai. Keep away from people who are sick, coughing or sneezing. Avoid from going to places where there are plenty of people, where this time it's much better for stop the house and away from other people as much as we can. If you don't feel right and you have a fever, cough or sore throat and you worry about someone else, phone your doctor, clinic or medical service right away for advice. It's many important to stay connected and strong as a community for keep you all together safe. Visit health.gov.au or your local service for more information.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
My name's Raven and you're listening to Talk Black on BBM 98.7 FM.
Storms sweep down as the deep sea rolls, while warrior reef and Dali shores, wild winds batter the tiny isles, seagulls pause to rest a while, to the fury of the storm is bent, and palm trees of the green torment, the sleepers foot to see once more, and a man is free from his bones on shore, on an island free, in a deep blue sea, when a tossed palm and bandana's
Yeah, Mabo, the Mill Sisters here on your deadly program, National Talk Black. Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company, your mob. Back in the hot seat again next week. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. But 24-7, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Trendy Trev, sign off. Thank you very much, your mob. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, stay safe. COVID-19 is still about. To deadly, mob.
What's the color of our flag? Red, black and yellow. What's the color of our flag? Red, black and yellow.